In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luther says there's three parts to a good sermon. He suggests a preacher stand up, speak up, then shut up. And it's the third part that is always the most difficult, says Luther. It appears that Jesus comes in this text today and preaches the perfect sermon. It was late on the first day after the Sabbath, the doors being locked because the disciples were afraid of the Jews. Fear had gripped them. The events that had just transpired laid them low. They had been terrified, their consciences in terrible agony. They had not gone the last mile with the Lord. They had forgotten him. They had run away from him. They didn't stand with him. They denied him. And Jesus comes, and the text says, this one, Jesus came into their midst, and he stood, and he said to them, peace be to you. Two words, peace to you. The two best words that could possibly be preached to suffering consciences. He doesn't say, let's recount the mistakes you made so we don't make them in the future. He says, peace. And then he shows them his hands and his side, and they rejoice. They remembered everything that he said. For a little while, the world will rejoice and you will be sad, but then you will rejoice. And now here it is, they rejoice. Behold, he is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world, and he points to the bloody marks in his own body where the Lamb accomplished the death for their sins. And he says, peace be with you, peace. Your conscience is clear. Without a clear conscience, it's impossible for us to be certain of our salvation. Without a clear conscience, it's impossible to believe in Christ with certainty and also to serve our neighbor in love. He gives everything here with just two words, peace to you, and look at my hands and my side. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. They would need it. It would be 1 week later when the Thomas incident occurs. Still, they're locked up behind closed doors. They need peace constantly, and they will. Just as the Father sent me, also I send you. The Father sends Jesus specifically. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord was sent from eternity, the God-man, to accomplish the task. And now he sends his apostles with the same word, apostello. I send you with a sacred, divine mandate and task to proclaim good news. Our fathers, all of them, saw in this text and several others the institution of the office of the ministry, which follows from that of the apostles. And at the same time, Luther, both early and late in his career, Dr. Walther, virtually all of the Orthodox Lutherans saw here too the fact that lay people speak the gospel in their own vocations and are sent to speak forgiveness where they are placed. And it must be spoken. It has to be spoken. It's the gospel. And while he said this, he breathed on them, saying, receive you the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. This sounds very easy, doesn't it? I was in a meeting with a couple of different church judicatories, let's say, one of them not the Missouri Synod, where there had been conflict for decades over many different actions and failures to act, insults and offenses taken and given. We talked long and hard for a full day about the texts that have to do with reconciliation, with fellowship, with koinonia, with forgiveness. And after talking for more than a day about these profound texts and agreeing completely on the philosophical and theological grounding of forgiveness and koinonia and its necessity, I asked the question, so how would all of this apply in the case of XYZ, which was one of the actual naughty issues? There was an explosion. Boom! Intense anger, intense responses, intense reaction. It is as though what we had just talked about for a day and a half didn't even exist. But then, thank God, the Holy Spirit took over. And one by one around the table, we all began to admit where we had fallen short and to offer apologies and forgiveness. And we backed up and pushed, as the old bluegrass song says, and moved forward to a better place by the gift of the Spirit. Confession absolution wasn't talked about much when I was at seminary. And when I went out into the parish, I quickly learned that I was involved with a lot of counseling cases with marital couples and other people having difficulties in their lives. And you'll find out as you go out that you, after a while, will be sure that you can't hear anything stranger than you've already heard. And everything goes into the ear like going into a tomb. It's not repeated to anybody. An old pastor told me, you know, anytime somebody comes in for marital difficulty or something else, I always take them through confession and absolution. And so I began doing that. Anybody that came in for family difficulty, personal challenges, couples, began taking them right to the front of the church, which is always empty, and sitting in the front pew with couples together. John, do you acknowledge that you have had hard feelings against your wife and thought ill of her and sinned against her? Yes, Pastor, I do. Jill, do you understand that what you've done has hurt your husband terribly and it has been wrong for you to think this way and act this way? Yes, Pastor, I do. Do you believe that my forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Yes, Pastor, we do. In the stead and by the command of Christ, you're forgiven. So vital. It's so vital for us to live that way as Christians in the church. We are sinners. We will always sin against each other, fall short, disappoint one another. Our personalities will be prone to drive us apart. The institutions we serve and the responsibilities we serve will be prone to push you apart from your elders or your ladies group or that one person. And as pastor, and as other church leaders, you'll be the first one called upon to repent, to lead your parish in forgiveness, to lead your parish in repentance, and to lead by speaking the gospel. Luther said, preaching on this text, that the resurrection has to be distributed, and the resurrection is distributed by words. Jesus speaks just such a paucity of words here. Peace be to you. Look at my hands and side. The sacrifice is paid. The payment has been accepted. The world has been exonerated in me. Peace be to you. That has to be what you preach. Whatever else you preach and whatever styles you use, and there are many and various blessings, etc., that has to be what you preach for the sake of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and a peaceful conscience. Without that, we have not Christ. God grant it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.